Well, it happens ever so often, now and then. And I always pray, Lord, do it, but give me some time. But this morning, as we were sitting in the prayer time, and Marilla was sharing a few thoughts as well, I really felt the Lord prompt me to speak on something different this morning. So forgive me, I've got no notes on this, okay? I've brought this message before, I think a few years ago. But we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 15, please, if you've got your Bible. I really believe this is what the Lord has prompted me to speak on this morning. I was prepared to continue to talk on the spreading flame of Pentecost, particularly the account of Cornelius. By God's grace, we'll get back to that at some other point, but I really feel I'll just be disobedient this morning if I don't bring this to our attention, remembering and a reminder to us again, particularly in the time that we're living, things that we're seeing around about us, and perhaps how we may feel at times about the things that is happening around about us. So from Jeremiah chapter 15, we're going to read from verse 10. Now, Lord, we just come to you this morning. I ask you help me just to, as I pray this morning, to speak your words. Lord, these are your words. And Father, I just pray that you help me to articulate clearly that which you want to say this morning. Lord, I thank you that your ways are not our ways, Lord. Forgive us for the times when we want to go our way and continue down our path. Lord, we welcome you and continue to welcome you that you would have your way and not our way in this church, Lord. In every area of our lives, we want you to be Lord. And so, Lord, I pray, as you prompted me this morning of this message, I pray that you help me to bring it and that we would hear what your Spirit is saying. Lord, much can be said, but it's that which we hear this day. And I pray that we would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So just a sort of context for those of you who ever studied the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I believe, was known as the weeping prophet, okay, for good reason, in that by today's standards, if we had to judge him in his ministry, he would probably be seen as unsuccessful by many people because not many people listened to him. And as he goes around preaching and faithfully and prophesying in the name of the Lord, he's largely not accepted and sees the calamities coming upon the people because of their disobedience. And Jeremiah finds himself in this passage in a real downcast way, okay? So it's with that context that we're going to read this, and then we'll just pick out a few things as the Lord leads us this morning. So, okay, tough words he says here, very downward feeling words if you like. But let's hear the heart of this prophet this morning from Jeremiah 15 verse 10. He says, "Woe is me! Woe is me, my mother, that you have borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent for interest, nor have men lent to me for interest. Every one of them curses me." The Lord said, "Surely it will be well with your remnant. Surely I will cause the enemy to intercede with you in the time of adversity and in the time of affliction. Can anyone break iron, the northern iron and the bronze? Your wealth and your treasures I will give as plunder without price because of all your sins throughout your territories. And I will make you cross over with your enemies into a land which you do not know. For a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you." Prophesying of the calamities, the exile on the people of Israel that happened in history. In verse 15, "O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand. For you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream and waters that fail. My goodness, Jeremiah, you're kind of pushing this a little bit too far here, man. You're talking to God. You see, Jeremiah, true prophet of God, true man of God, fully obedient to God in bringing the message and proclaiming to the people the imminent exile and the things that will come upon them because of the wickedness of the land. People that have disregarded the Lord's ways. And he knows the message and the heart of God to the people, and he brings it hoping to see some kind of repentance. But still God proclaims these words that these treasures they will give as plunder without price, it says. Calamity will come upon the people. And Jeremiah calls out to the God here, to his God here, says, you know, remember me and visit me. Okay, Lord, he says in verse 16, he says, your words were found and I ate them. This is true, I hope, of all of us here this morning as Bible-believing Christians who've come here this morning instead of shopping because we love the Lord and we love his word. And I hope we can all say this morning, like Jeremiah, we have found your words and we found Messiah, Jesus, through the word and the power of his spirit. And when we read the word of God, it speaks to us. It's like we eat his word. He let it get into us. And it's like Jeremiah says, your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. There's a challenge for us off the bat this morning, yes? Is that truly true of you and of me? When we read God's word, that we can say like Jeremiah, when I find your words, when I find those truths, as Michael even revealed through that scripture in Proverbs 28, 2. You know, reveal something about a historic proverb that God spoke, but over the nations that we can see happening before our very eyes. These words are true. And when we find these words of truth, God's word, we find them, we eat them. We literally can't get enough of it. And Jeremiah, a mighty prophet of God and man of God, this was his portion. This was him. And he's appealing to God. Lord, this is me. This is what I'm doing. Okay? He says, remember me and visit me, verse 15, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors because they all hate me. I haven't lent, I haven't got involved in all the financial affairs and all the stuff of this world, and yet they hate me. Every one of them curses me, says Jeremiah. Totally unaccepted by the people. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. My friends, I want to say to us this morning as a church, okay? We may not always feel it, but let me say to you, we are under persecution. Okay, and I believe it's going to get worse and worse as the days progress. Did Jesus promise this? The word confirms this. Imposters and evil men and all these deceptions and hatred towards true Christians will grow worse and worse. Today, Christianity, I believe, is one of the most persecuted religion in the world. You and I are enjoying our freedom here this morning. Yes, we do. Okay. There's no one with guns blocking us from coming through these doors, but in many nations, that's not the case. But we know that we're up against it. There's no doubt about this. And many of you will even know that even in your families, your colleagues, you may suffer all kinds of rebuke for his namesake because you're a Christian. Not just a Christian, but you believe in God's purposes for Israel. You believe Jesus is coming back. Oh, you're a nutter, people may say. I've heard this said to my face. Even though they may be Christian. And people will scoff and they will mock. But I know, like Jeremiah, and I hope it's the case for you. Your words were found and I ate them, okay? And your word was to me joy and rejoicing of my heart. Because I can't find that in the world, okay? I've got joy in my family and my things that God's blessed us with. But my friends, I know that that is but temporary. And the Bible talks about our lives being like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow, my friends. Tomorrow is not promised. We are looking for that glorious hope to be with Jesus. And we hope to be that generation, that time of the church when we hear that upward call. But who knows how long any of us here have got left before we breathe that last breath of life. What hope and what pleasure do we have in this world? Jeremiah understood this, okay? He felt the pressures around about him. And even in this calling, this obedience in serving God, he's getting nothing but grief coming back his way. Great advice that was given to me by a great minister of God who served many years and still serving the Lord today. He said in Christian ministry, and this is true, if you're a real born-again believer and you're serving the Lord and you want to do His will, give of yourself, give faithfully to the Lord. Give your service, give of the Lord. Give the words of encouragement, just give and give and give and give of yourself in the name of the Lord, never receiving and never desiring anything back or expecting anything back. Let God reward you for your good deeds. Because we may go throughout this whole world like Jeremiah, our whole life, having an unsuccessful ministry. But God sees, okay? So Jeremiah is experiencing all this. He is having a little bit of a rant towards God, if you like. And I want to say to us this morning and confess, I've done that. And sometimes we sit with our halos over our heads here. But maybe we say nice prayers and we pray and we thank you, Lord, you're so good and everything. But inside, Lord, if I can only speak my mind, really. And you know what I found, friends, in my experience, is when it gets really tough. I mean, life is hitting you from all angles, okay? And as a Christian, you know you can go to God, and you know He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. You know He's omnipotent, He's omniscient. He can change your situation in an instant. And you go to the Lord and you say, why? What have I done to you, Lord? I've done nothing but trying to serve you and do what is right. If I'm doing wrong, show me. But Lord, I just see I'm trying to do the right thing, but everything is against me. And there's no success in that which I want. I would love to go out and preach the word and do all the things and go out in the street and see thousands come to the Lord and all great success. Yes? In times in history that's happened, but for the most part, it's pretty much the other way around. You get rejected, despised. And why should we expect anything else when Jesus, our very Messiah, was a man of sorrows, rejected and despised, it says in Isaiah 53. And Jeremiah is complaining to God. He does here. Being truthful to God, I encourage you, do that. I find when I do that, it's like, it's almost like the Lord's like, there it is, okay? All this other fluff around there does not impress God, okay? He's not impressed by our songs and our worship and our nice words if it's just superficial. In fact, he said to his people, away with the noise of your music. Our music is beautiful this morning and we worship the Lord. But if it's coming from a place of it's just doing our deeds, God's not impressed, my friends, and he never was and he never will be. But Jeremiah is genuinely complaining to God here. And he says, Lord, in verse 17, I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers. I'm not amongst those who speak evil of your word. I don't mock at that which is coming. I stand upon the truth. I'm proclaiming the truth against all this lot here, your people that won't accept it. Nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand. How often you find yourself alone as a believer, feeling alone at work, feeling alone in a marriage, feeling alone in a household, at work, wherever it may be, in college, in university. Sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Let me say to you this morning, okay? Jesus promised, one of the promises we don't like, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have a tough time. But as we've looked at before, even in that, God is working something in and through us, okay? And Jeremiah experiences, you have filled me with indignation. It's like everything is rubbish, okay? It's just, everything is horrible. And then he asks this question to God. Why is my pain perpetual, verse 18, and my wound incurable? It's a pain that cannot go away. I cannot find healing. Think about it, friends, for those of you who've been cut deep with a deep relationship issue. Maybe a marriage had fallen apart or some horrible relationship breakdown or something. It can feel like a wound incurable. Yes, and many people take years and years and years to get over it. And Jeremiah's experiencing this level of pain. It's incurable. It's perpetual. It doesn't stop. I go to bed. I wake up in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Yes, Lord, I know you reign. But my life is pretty terrible. And all I'm trying to do is serve you. Why is my wound incurable and which refuses to be healed? And then listens to what he asks God. This last half of verse 18. Wow, what a question to ask the creator of the universe. Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream as waters that fail? Oof. If I was there, I'd be like, oh, Jeremiah, no. You've gone too far now, my friend. Don't talk like that. This is what Jeremiah is feeling. Let me say to you this morning, okay? God sees that little thing tucked away in your heart there that you'll say to no one, not even those closest to you. Even in your prayer to God Almighty, you won't say it, but it's there. Lord, I'm doubting. Lord, I got questions. I know what your word says. I ate it. It's rejoicing. It's in my heart. It's feeding me. But I've got questions because I see things around about me that does not add up. Will you be to me then as an unreliable stream and waters that fail? This is how Jeremiah felt. You know, give him his due for his honesty here. And oh, that we would be more honest with God. I think that's the place we need to be, particularly if we're fighting with a particular issue in our lives. You know, cut to the chase, as they say. Let me be candid. Let me be truthful. Let's say it like it is. This is how I feel. And of course, God in heaven, God loving, God all forgiving, God merciful. Our awesome Father in heaven, who is pure light, pure love. How does he answer the prophet? This astonishes me. Knowing he's poured out his heart like never before, yeah, okay. Woe is me, even my mother, that you have borne me. I did not ask to be here, okay. Lord, I think it was Mary Pattenden years ago, her testimony, where she quoted some old song, said, stop the world, I want to get off, okay? I didn't ask to be here. Woe is my mother that she'd even born me. Lord, and maybe he's expecting a loving arm around him of, God, come here, Jeremiah, my prophet, man. I'm so sorry it's been so tough on you and I've forgotten you, and I was focusing on Isaiah and these guys, and maybe I've forgotten you for a while, but come, Jeremiah, it's all right, we'll fix it. Yeah? Good parents, we would do that. That's what we do, okay? We spoil our kids. Help, sometimes in ways that are not helpful. What does the creator of the universe say to Jeremiah? I find this astonishing. We need to look at this, okay? Will you be to me like a stream that, well, what does it fail? Therefore, verse 19, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. And you shall stand before me if you take out the precious from the vial. You shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. And I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. Wow. Wow, I find this amazing. And I don't know if this has been your experience, my friends. Many of us have been through many trials and are going through trials. And how many times we wait on the Lord to answer. And we're just waiting for somebody in church to come and just give a word of knowledge and speak into your situation. Because, Lord, I'm asking. I want to hear from you. Lord, I want to hear your direction on this situation in my life that is just so big and so terrible. And it doesn't come. Come to church and people pat you on the back. How's it going? And everything. Nobody even seems to notice. Lord, I'm not hearing from you. What's going on? I'm reading your word. I'm praying. Silence. I hear all kinds of other things through your word. You're not speaking into my situation, okay? What's going on? And has it been your experience, as it has been with mine over the years, when God finally answers in his way, it's not always what we want to hear, okay? Not always, he fixes the situation, but not always the way you want it to. In fact, pretty much in my case, never the way I wanted to, okay? Because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts, Isaiah says. His thoughts are high above. God sees the end from the beginning, everything in between. We are but like a little speck, as it were, on a timeline. God is doing something way, way, way beyond what we can think. And even Jeremiah, this great prophet of God, as he's pouring out his heart to God, good on him for doing that. First thing the Lord says to him, Jeremiah, you know, okay, I can only but paraphrase in my mind's eye, in my imagination, kind of see what God's doing here. But just, okay, Jeremiah, just, if you come back to me, okay, if you come back to me, if you return, I'll bring you back. Here is a great tension in the Bible, if you like, okay? Because we pray this, we prayed this morning, Lord, bring us back to you. And for those of you that ever studied things like Calvinism, which I don't agree with, okay, we're not a Calvinist church, but they very much hammer this point home. You have no purpose or work in this. God will call you like he called Lazarus from the grave, like Jesus called him. And it's until you've heard that call, you know, you've not been called, basically. And so I'll wait for that call. I've not heard it. No. Yeah, God says it even in the altar. If you return, then I will bring you back. See, they both come together, okay? It's on us. We return. We draw near to God. He draws near to us, okay? If you return. So what's gone wrong with Jeremiah here? He's a righteous prophet. He's preaching the truth. He even confesses before God. God doesn't rebuke him for lying, okay? He's not mocked. He's not done all these things. Why is God saying to him, if you return, then I will bring you back? Where have you gone, Jeremiah? Where did it go wrong? He says to him, and I believe this is the message for this morning, if you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. The precious from the vial. Okay? That which is pure and clean and righteous, take it out from all that which is not those things. Here is a big, big challenge for each and every one of us, because when we look around about us, everywhere where we go, we are touched by the vile, okay? God said of his priests, I think it's in Ezekiel when he taught them, he says, you shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. To know what is right and what is wrong, okay? And the power of the Holy Spirit that lives through us, we've been looking at the outpouring of Pentecost, we have a gift of discernment. You can even walk, my friends, recognize this. As a spirit builder believer, you can go into some place or somewhere and have a burden of the Lord, or just a sense in your spirit, I shouldn't be here. Or you could be part of a conversation that's not very godly, it might not be very evil, but your heart might start thumping and you know, this is not for me. I should get out of this. Take out the precious from the vile. Be holy. Be separate. It doesn't mean we are like these cloud-floating saints here on the earth that are right, more righteous than the others. But my friends, we are called to live separate lives, as it were. Be holy. I hope you understand that with me this morning. Take out the precious from the vile. So what was the vial that perhaps Jeremiah was getting into? Well, all I can see is the immediate context of his complaint. Okay? Now, this is what sparked me this morning, Mirella. It's all your fault. Okay? Because we complain. Not because Mirella was complaining, but we complain. Okay? We complain about this world. We complain about our government. And we say righteous things all the time. They're not wrong. Okay, we can agree. All those scriptures we read this morning and prayed into, it's right. Yes, we can see. One translation, as I said to Michael this morning, renders that Proverbs 28:2, when a land, something along the lines of under moral rot, you know, they'll have many princes. And I think we can agree. Even in the Western world, there's a moral rot happening amongst us. There are things accepted in society that many, many years ago would never even be thought of to be accepted. They happened, not accepted. But now accepted even in churches, my friends. Think of LGBT things and all that. Many churches are pushing these things even, okay? There is a moral rot that's happening in our land. And because of that, God's judgment, okay? So taking out the precious from the vial. Here Jeremiah is finding himself looking around, seeing that these people are not listening, okay? The church, if you like, put ourselves in the shoes of Jeremiah here, and many times we can look around and we feel, where is the power of the church? Why is it not like it was after the day of Pentecost, that even the shadow of Peter should cast on somebody and they would believe that it'd be healed and many people be healed? Why is it not when they preach the gospel, all in one day, 3,000 people come to faith? We've had glimpses of this in history, great revivals. But for most part in history, it's not like that. And then we sit and we complain. And we mumble and we groan. And God was very severe on his people, Israel, when they complained, when they were going through the wilderness. He was taking them through. Oh, Lord, not this manna again. Really? Got to eat this stuff every day. If we could only go back to Egypt and have the things we had there. And God was angry with him, grumbling and complaining. And I can see here a little bit the vileness, if you like, of Jeremiah, the righteous prophet, has allowed himself to get into a pit of despair. Do you see that with me this morning? Yeah, I see myself in that pit sometimes. Renee and I often joke, for those of you who've ever watched a children's movie, I think it's called Madagascar, with the animals. One of my favorite scenes is Melman the giraffe, because I like giraffes, okay? But he's always thinking he's dying. And he finds a spot on his neck, and giraffes all have spots. But somebody says to him, you've got a spot on your neck, you're going to die, okay? So where does Melman go? To the dying hole. And he just sits there waiting to die. And I think this can be us sometimes. We just sit around waiting for the death. Woe is me. Woe my mother that she gave birth to me. This world is terrible, Lord. When are you going to come just take us out of this world? That's not a bad prayer to pray. But if the heart is wrong and the complaint is getting the better of us, my friends, then we're going to get the same word that God gave to Jeremiah. If you return to me, and then I will bring you back. Back where? Back to the place where you're supposed to be. In other words, you're not supposed to be in this little dying hole. Okay? Get out. It's not all doom and gloom. It's almost like God is saying, Jeremiah, just, okay. Come back to me. And I'll bring you back. And if that happens, and you take out the precious from the vial, you will be as my mouth. That's pretty powerful. You know, Peter talks about when we speak, he's talking to Christians, he's talking to all of us. When we speak, we are to speak as the oracles of God. My dad, I think, brought a message not so long ago, but we will be judged by every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth. Now, I shudder to think how many words I say in a day. I believe it's far worse for ladies, okay? Sorry to say. But apparently it's scientifically proven. Men only say so many thousand words a day, ladies say a lot more, okay? Remember, you'll be judged by every idle word that comes out of your mouth. Peter says, when you speak, speak as the oracles of God. You are a born-again believer. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Born again of the Spirit of God. We looked at Pentecost, God pouring out His Spirit upon His church. There was Peter now preaching under the authority where always he put his foot in the mouth, as they say. Now he's speaking under the authority of God, bringing correction, bringing people to repentance, boldly proclaiming the truth, and people get saved. Wow. Peter be like, wow, that's never happened before. I tried to say a whole lot before. No one was listening. In fact, I just got into trouble. But now he sees as he is God's mouth speaking in this world. That's us, my friends. Born again believers. And I can tell you now, this is one of the things that Satan would love nothing more is to silence you, okay? And if he can't silence you as such, he'll get you in that dying hole, okay? And you're sitting there, woe is me. Everything is terrible. No, come back to the Lord. He'll bring you back. And then he says this to them, the last part of verse 19. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. What does that mean? I remember looking at that years ago when I did this message before, and it really spoke to me because one of our great ways of reaching people these days is outreach. We call it outreach, okay? And we become all things to all men. Paul said this. And many great missionaries, I think of Hudson Taylor when he was amongst the Chinese, I think, and, you know, he changed his appearance so he could fit in with the crowd and then had great impact in spreading the gospel. So, great way of doing it. But what I believe he's saying here is don't lower your standard to this level, Jeremiah, where they're also complaining and grumbling and just in their dying holes. No, you don't do this. He says, let them return to you, but you must not return to them. My friends, I believe this is a message for the church today, okay? I believe this is a message. People are seeking truth. And I think as we remain high in our standards, and when I say our standards, it's standing upon the truth of God's word without compromise, okay? Let people come to us. Let them know when they come to Three Mile Cross Church through those doors, they're going to come and they're going to hear the word of God. May they understand it all, maybe not, but let the standard be there. Do you see this? I don't want to speak evil of many churches. My big church in South Africa when we were attending also went that way, this way of the seeker-friendly movement, okay? To make Sunday services, particularly morning services, very seeker-friendly and water the word down. No, they wouldn't use those words, but keep it at a low level so that when the newcomer comes in, they don't feel threatened. It's acceptable to them, you see, seeker-friendly. And many churches adopted this, and they saw many churches filled with people. And I believe, even by their own research now, many years later, some of these churches have looked back and said that has failed catastrophically. Because yes, they saw many people, but they also saw many people leave. And they saw people come and go, and there was no substance. No, I believe the mandate of the church is to preach the truth. Yes, preach the word in season, out of season. Do not compromise. Stand upon the truth. Let them come to you. Don't you go to them. Okay, doesn't mean we don't go evangelize and we don't speak to people. No, of course we must. Don't lower our standards. Do you hear this? This morning, this is what God is saying to Jeremiah. Raise the standard again, Jeremiah. Be who I called you to be. My mouth. Speak my words. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. God says to him, and I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. Impenetrable. Okay? And they will fight against you. Again, it's promised, even here in the Old Testament, they will fight against you. We are going head first against the tide, my friends. I love a book that I have written by a lady called, I think, Sylvia Baker, who did a whole study on Christian education and the outcomes of that. And as you know, we've got a school here, and so the title of her book is Swimming Against the Tide. Because the tide is very quickly flowing that way. Here's a little Christian, okay, going against the tide. You are going the wrong way. You're irritating everybody along the way. Why can't you just comply and go along? No. No, don't do it. Don't do it. They will fight against you. But the promise is they shall not prevail against you. My friends, the victory in Jesus. They hated him, they'll hate you too. The servant is not greater than the master, said Jesus, okay? But the victory we have in him. That even in this world, it should never really look like it's worked out. Like Jeremiah, ultimately the victory is there. Every tongue will confess, every knee will bow before Jesus. Everyone will see, as Jesus says in the book of Revelation to his church, these are the ones whom I have loved. These are the ones who are accepted. Everyone will know. Nothing is unseen by our God. They will fight against you, and they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. What a promise that is for us, my friends. What a promise is in store for the church. Let me say to you this morning, we're a church that believes in the premillennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will come back a second time and he will set his feet on Mount Zion. He will set up his 1,000-year rule and reign on this earth. The Messianic kingdom, the Bible talks about this very clearly. Most Bible scholars, evangelicals, they will agree on the second coming of Jesus, okay? The literal coming of Jesus. But you know, the Bible talks about a time before that coming of Jesus as a time of great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, 7 years of wrath, particularly that last half of that 7 years, wrath on this earth, such as this world has never seen, no, never will see again. Okay? The real judgment of God poured out upon this world. Why? My friends, it's to save his people Israel, and it's bring justice and judgment because of the rejection of Jesus. And in that time, many will call upon his name. Now, we believe, and I teach, and I believe the Bible teaches us, not everybody agrees. I believe the true church of Jesus will be spared from that time. For those who are really walking in his ways, those who are really looking for that blessed hope, those who got hearts towards God, those who are living in this world, this is, I'm enjoying everything you've given me, Lord. I thank you for the blessings every day, but I thank you, my home is there, not here. Okay? Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he could see what was coming afterwards. How can you and I endure the things of this world if there is no resurrection, if there is no hope on the other side? But Jesus promised it. And I believe with my whole heart, even as it says here, I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked. I believe this is a prophecy looking way into the future even. When the great wrath of God will be poured out, you will be delivered, my friends. Does that mean we don't suffer persecution? No, of course we do. There's Christians all over the world suffering persecution. Does that mean we go through the wrath of God? I don't believe it. We are not destined for the wrath of God, the Bible says. And I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. I want to ask each and every one of us this morning, okay, as I believe the Lord prompted me this morning to bring this to us and to myself as well, okay, where am I? Would the Lord say to me this morning, Dion, if you return, I will bring you back? I didn't even know I was off the pathway, Lord. Okay? How did we get off rail? We allow the pressures and the cares of this life, the frustrations of this life, to get the better of us. Now, I know there's some tough situations in this church. I know many trials, health issues, financial issues, things that we are crying out to the Lord for. Okay? Don't allow our circumstance to choke out the word of God. We are always, may I stress that, we are always above those things in Jesus. Always. No matter what you're going through. And I've said it many times. I remember one of my greatest memories, as painful as it was, when Nathan was in hospital years ago and we didn't have the money back in South Africa to pay for him to go to this hospital, which he had to go to, his life or death, okay? And I remember praying, Lord, I need a miracle, okay? This will be a good day for a miracle. And I had such faith that I could already see all kinds of things happening that God will do. I knew it in my heart. I knew it. I'll be honest with you, I didn't doubt in that sense. But I was in my mind thinking how God would do this. Did he do it my way? Absolutely not. Okay. Did he do a miracle? Yes, he did. Okay. I remember, as I said before, I remember walking over to the counter. They'd already taken Nathan through to see to him. I had to pay this astronomical amount up front, which I know I didn't have. And I went to the counter and I put my card down and I walked away and I prayed. I said, Lord, a miracle. We need one today. And I heard the voice of the lady say, Mr. Esterhazen, there seems to be a problem. And I turned around. Those of you that know the story, I laughed because I looked at her and I said, yeah, I know there's a problem. I know there's no money. She goes, no, don't worry. The hospital systems have crashed completely. But it's okay. We're going to see to your son. Don't worry. We'll sort this out later. And I'm like, okay, Lord, that's not the miracle I thought would happen. Okay. And you know, but it happened. There he goes. He gets the operation he needs. He's spared. An astronomical bill comes at the end. God provides in many other ways. Taught me a lot of things. Always goes two ways. God is teaching, even as he's teaching Jeremiah. So I was preparing this morning for Peter as he's going to Cornelius. God was teaching Peter things, even though he brings the message to Cornelius. Always goes two ways. God loves you, my friend. None of us are perfect, pure, refined instruments in God's hands. We are being refined every day to conform to the image of his son. And we just need to allow him, even if it's painful. But we are never, ever, ever, ever under the circumstances. We are over it in Jesus. And this is the promise that God gives to Jeremiah, to each and every one of us. Now, I just want to close with this again. If you take out the precious from the vial, ask God what that means. Ask God this morning, this day, what does that mean? Lord, what does that mean in my life? What is the precious that you see in my life that is immersed in the vile? In my bad attitude, in my sin, in my continuous, perpetual wrongdoing that I know is a problem. Maybe I've put it aside. God is saying to you this morning, take out that precious from the vile. Get out of your dying hole. Okay. I say to all of us, if you're feeling depressed this morning, yes, we can feel that way. Jeremiah clearly was. My friends, turn your eyes back to the Lord. Return to him. Take out that precious from the vial. Amen. I'll stop there this morning because I'm boiling up here. I don't know, Irene, if you've got a song. I think we prepared that. There is a Redeemer. And I think that's a great song this morning because it says, I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. And there is a Redeemer, my friends, the Son of God. And he has come to redeem us, bought us back and given us a life and a hope and a future in him. And so, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for prompting me this morning to change that which I even prepared. Lord, I pray that, Lord, whoever it's for, even if it's just for one individual this morning, I pray that they will truly hear what it is your Spirit is saying to this morning. And Lord, for all of us, I pray that we would hear what it is you're saying. And Lord, to take out the precious from the vile and to learn to be a church, Lord, standing upon your truth, uncompromising, hallelujah, and allowing you to use us as your mouth in this world, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and we close in song. Thank you, Irene.